The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody, for joining us here on the Guy James Show today. So good to have you along with us. We plan on having a entertaining and informative program for you, as always. Just to let you know right off the bat here today that we've got a great guest coming up at around, at the three-quarter hour mark. Glenn Greenwald of Salon Magazine is going to be here, and we're going to talk about this so-called truce between Fox and General Electric that is supposedly keeping Keith Olbermann from mentioning Bill O'Reilly anymore. Do you think Keith Olbermann would do that? Do you think Keith Olbermann would settle for that? I don't know. I have a hard time with it, but we're going to talk about it and find out what. Actually, Glenn has talked to Keith about this, so we'll get the straight dope on it for sure. Coming up at around 3:45, Glenn's down in Rio de Janeiro, and we'll connect with him down there. He spends some time down there each year, and got him a place there, I guess, and so. Again, that's Glenn Greenwald of Salon Magazine, prolific author and writer. Always good to have him along with us. My goodness, what do you think? I envisioned it something like this. Al Gore calls up Bill Clinton and says, Bill, I'd like you to do me a favor. And Bill says, sure, Al, what is it? What can I do for you? And he says, well, I'd like you to go pick up a couple of chicks. Well, yeah, Al, I guess I can go pick up a couple of chicks for you. And so Bill heads off to North Korea and comes over. And seriously, isn't it great? Isn't it great? Most admired politician in the world goes to North Korea, picks up those girls, brings them home. They're safe and sound, despite the fact that some of the hardcore right-wingers are claiming that it was a terrible thing for him to do, that we have capitulated once again and given in to the commies and all that. Bolton, John Bolton, for one. Why doesn't John Bolton just stick his head up his ass and go away? I just wish he would. I'm so sick of looking at that walrus face, son of a bitch. Wish he'd go away. Don't tell me the phone's ringing right off the top today. Really? Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hi, Kevin.
How you doing, bro?
All right.
I just have to say, it's so sad that the Republicans have to resort to this cheap tactic. And they did something the Democrats are showing again what fools they are, what bumbling fools they are, because they showed, as weird as he may be, King John L., and that is one weird guy, show him an ounce of respect.
Yeah.
And that's all it took. A little tiny bit of respect can go a long way.
That's for sure. I mean, look at some of the people that we've given respect over the years. He stood there just beaming yesterday, happy that he'd probably scored a little bit of a victory and finally getting the United States to come visit him and all. But hey, we saved a couple of citizens from a fate worse than death, and maybe it'll open a door, you know.
Okay. But you see, again, if it doesn't make money for the big defense contractors, then, you know.
That's
and
right.
This is why, you know, Mr. Disco Wig and Porn Mustache, Michael Bolton, is criticizing it.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Of course, he'll criticize anything we do. The guy makes me sick.
Yeah. I've come to the conclusion. I don't know if you heard about that guy in Pennsylvania shooting up the...
That's right.
Yeah. That's the future of the right wing.
I think it is. I agree with you. Did you see what he used as his signature line on his email?
No.
He's another one. Avoid socialism or stop socialism, impeach Clinton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I'm not surprised. No, I'm not surprised.
Nice.
Because he can't get laid. He's going to go and shoot down a bunch of ladies in a gym.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad, and this is why, basically, a lot of right-wing males think, you know, they have to basically economically blackmail a lot of women from doing what they want.
Yeah. Yeah, this is an awful story, and...
it is.
I don't know what we do about it, because I think the genie's out of the bottle here. We've had several of these types of killings this year. And lo and behold, we have found that several of them have been crazy right wingers.
And I've brought this up, and I've brought this up before. You know, like, again, I live in Brooklyn, and you know, my neighborhood—it's amazing now. Like, because years ago you never saw it, but the amount of Caucasian women moving into my neighborhood having mixed race babies,
mm-hmm. Sure.
And they're leaving the suburbs and coming in where. I guess where it's safe.
Yeah, I would think it would be safer in town.
Because if you have to put up with this kind of nonsense...
It's horrible. It's really horrible.
I
feel for anybody having to put up with that, and those poor people yesterday. I mean, here they were innocently in there exercising, and this creep comes in, but...
Yeah.
He's another
but
one.
This is... You know... Yeah, this is the future, but, you know, it's a sad day, man. It really is.
It is. I'm afraid of this. I'm very, very afraid of this, that it's going to come to bloodshed. It has come to bloodshed already. And we've got people out there exhorting violence now at these town hall meetings. And of course, their legions of followers are answering them and by doing exactly what they want.
Exactly. You know, and even like the mainstream media is filtering what he said.
Yes.
You know, they're focusing on, women don't like me and I can't get women and all that, all this nonsense. When really, the man is just a hateful, fascist pig.
He certainly is.
And who wants, what human being wants to be around that?
I know. I'm afraid we're in for a long ride of this type. I really am. I never thought I'd ever see the day when all this kind of thing would
bunch of women bouncing around in the gym, he's going to go shoot up, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's an awful situation.
Yeah. And if you notice, most of the legislation that the right wing passes anti-woman.
Well, they anti-woman, anti-black, anti-anything, but...
No, but primarily, I'll say the core of it is anti-women.
Well, you got to be a white Anglo to be one in that club. You got to be. There's a few exceptions, but certainly not very many. And as we always ask the question, how many others are there in the House and the Senate, for them?
Well, the others are usually highly paid to go against the interests of their majority group.
Yes, that's right. They are.
Like the Michael Steels and all that.
Right. I agree. So how are things in Brooklyn today? The weather good?
No. Great. I'm taking on a little project here, since I have some time off. I'm painting some furniture that I inherited, so.
Good.
Yeah, I took a break to listen to your show,
of course.
And always a blessing, sir.
Hey,
always.
Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Okay, you too, bro.
Bye. Violence everywhere you turn. We're seeing more and more and more of it. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what we can do about it. As you can see, we've got all kinds of Republican politicians now urging these kooks on to go out and violently protest. It's an ugly situation. And, when liberals protest, it's fascism. Remember that? When liberals go out and protest about anything, we're called fascist. And when the conservatives go out and do their what we call astroturf protesting, it's democracy. But they're turning it into a violent, ugly thing. And now we've had a freshman Democratic lawmaker physically assaulted at a local event by right-wing activists. Think Progress reports, as lobbyist-run groups encourage conservative activists to rattle members of Congress at local town hall events, Representative Jerry Connolly, Democrat of Virginia, the president of the freshman Democratic class, has revealed that at least one freshman Democrat has already been physically assaulted at a local level by right-wing activists. Connolly warned that conservative groups had taken things to a dangerous level. He said, when you look at the fervor of some of these people, who are all being whipped up by the right-wing talking heads on Fox, to me, you're crossing the line, Connolly said. They're inciting people to riot with just total distortion of facts. They think we're going to euthanize grandma and the government is going to take over. And recent events have given congressmen good reason to be fearful for their safety. Last week, a protester hung in effigy, Representative Frank Crattivol, Democrat of Maryland, outside his district office, but after a June 22nd town hall meeting was disrupted by an unruly mob of Tea Party activists, Representative Tim Bishop, Democrat of New York, had to be escorted to his car by the police. Think Progress contacted Connolly's office regarding the identity of the congressman who was physically assaulted, but they've yet to receive a response. Folks, this is out of hand. This is un-American. This is something that we cannot allow to stand. I don't know yet what we do about it. It seems like words are not having any effect. And like I said, we go out and protest something. We're fascists, we're commies, we're socialists, we're called all these names. But they're doing it in the name of democracy. And, you go down through the list. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Glenn Beck, and Bill O'Reilly, and Michael Wiener, Savage, and Mark Levin, crazy bastard Mark Levin, Laura Ingraham, just as crazy as Levin, Coulter, nuttier than a fruitcake, Horowitz, oh my God, Michael Reagan, Lou Dobbs, Britt Hume, Bill Kristol, Mike Gallagher, the whole Fox News building in general. These people are slimy, smarmy, low-down, dirty propagandists who are speaking to an audience not smart enough to understand what's happening to them. Their audiences really don't realize that these modern-day Joseph Goebbels are convincing stupid, foolish, stubborn American people to act against their own interest. And these thugs are good. They're really good at what they do. First of all, they make tens of millions of dollars for themselves and far more for those who sponsor the verbal sewage they spew on hundreds of radio stations and TV stations all over the nation 24/7. They've got unlimited financial backing. They write a book and it's an instant bestseller because of friends they have who buy them up by the thousands. Then they have the entire nation blanketed with their anti-American propaganda, their outrageous lies and distortions, twisting the truth to a breaking point. And what's more, they have no consciences about doing it. These people I mentioned are nothing more than hate mongers who pollute the airwaves of America with the worst kind of vile, verbal filth imaginable. And it boggles my mind that there are words that you can't say on TV and radio, but you can say the most damnable things. You can lie, you can coerce millions of people into believing carefully crafted propaganda, but that is okay. I don't get it. I've invited several of the people I just mentioned onto this program, but not a single one of them has ever had the guts to accept my invitation, and that isn't surprising, as you know. They're all cowards when it comes to facing the truth. They all avoid public confrontation at all cost. They hide behind their bodyguards so that they never have to face the truth. I've seen this up close and personal with Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly. It breaks my heart that there are tens of millions of devotees to these people and their horrific, ruinous agenda. They're killing America. And it makes me ashamed of my country sometimes when I think of all the people who willingly follow these hate mongers without ever asking questions or for any proof of statements that they make. They just take them as gospel. I don't know what else to do about it except keep plugging away in this little studio, fighting their huge, well-equipped, well-financed army, when all I have to fight is, well, it's nothing more than the equivalent of a pop gun and some pocket change. How do we fight this? How do we fight this? How do we stop these crazy people at these events? Do you know that Fox News last night went out and covered one that they were gonna show people what these well-behaved protesters were like? And they went to a town hall, and I can't remember where it was now. I'm thinking it was in Texas, but I'm not exactly sure, so don't quote me on that. But they went to one of these, took the video of it, and went around and started interviewing people and found out that many of the people in the room weren't even from the district. They had invaded a congressman's town hall meeting, and they were not from his district. Why do you think they were there? They didn't even have the decency to go to their own town hall meeting. But now these people are probably traveling from one town hall to another because there are many websites on the right now publishing dates and times of all of the town hall meetings. It's ugly. And if you've seen the video of many of these and heard these raving maniacs and seen the looks on their faces of hatred and how they still stand up and, yes, say, keep your government hands off of my Medicare. One out of seven people in this country right now, they say, is illiterate. Can't even read. What do we do about this? And the thing that discourages me is there's more of us than there is of them. There's many more of us than there is of them. There's many more of us who love this country in the right way. We love a country that we want decency, a decent standard of living for everyone. There's far more of us than there is the greedy bastards that only look out after themselves. Far more of us. So how can it be that we're getting swamped in the media now by these people who are doing nothing but disturbing these town hall meetings, and they're doing it in a very un-American fashion. And they're being told how to do it and where to do it and when to do it by the likes of Dick Armey, slimy bastard that he is, another fine Texan, Dick Armey. What is it about Texas? I don't know. But what do we do? What do we do? I don't like what I'm seeing. And I don't think the White House is doing a whole hell of a lot to make it better. We are not as organized as they are. We are not, and we never have been, and probably never will be. And it doesn't help when we give our hearts and souls and all of our money that we can afford to the campaign and to elect somebody to the White House that goes back on his word on something of the utmost importance. I love Barack Obama. I do. But when you go out and campaign and you start talking about something that's a major issue to people of the United States, by God, you had better keep your word. Let me quote him. Let me quote President Obama. I happen to be in, you know, and the sad thing about it, this quote I'm going to tell you about, people on the left, the lady from the White House, I'm trying to think of her name, I can't think of her name offhand, but she came out and wanted to, Linda Douglas, that's her name, communications director for the White House, she came out and wanted people to believe that this ad that the Republicans are running was all a big lie that they had cut and pasted and taken Obama out of context on this. They did not. For once, this is an actual quote, and it is not a cut and paste job. It's an actual quote of the President of the United States, and I quote, "I happen to be a proponent of a single-payer universal health care program. I see no reason why the United States of America, the wealthiest country in the history of the world, spending 14% of its gross national product on health care, cannot provide basic health insurance to everybody." And that's what they're talking about when they say everybody in, nobody out. A single-payer health care plan. A universal health care plan. And that's what I'd like to see. But as all of you know, we may not get there immediately because first, we have to take back the White House. We have to take back the Senate. And we have to take back the House. End quote. A quote of Barack Hussein Obama. That are his words. Those are his words. When you make a statement like that, you have to stand behind it. And we're going to end up with some damn who knows what of a health care program. I don't know what we're going to end up with. I really don't. I don't think we're going to end up with much. And I hate to be pessimistic about it, but we're not going to end up with much. And since I don't believe we're going to get much of a health care bill at all, I do think we're getting a health care bill passed through reconciliation. I do think getting one passed through reconciliation would be great fun, even if it were a crap bill. You know, the worst outcome of this whole thing, and the one I think is probably the most likely, because in Washington, D.C., the worst is the rule. We'll get some kind of a crap bill with all sorts of gimmies made in the direction of the fake Democrats, a.k.a. the Blue Dogs in the House and the Senate caucus. And they'll leave the reconciliation on the shelf like it's something to be feared, something can never be used. And so we'll get a bunch of crap as a health care bill. That's how I feel about it. But even a terrible bill that got passed in spite of the Senate's counter-majoritarian BS and posturing as to tradition would be pretty damn cool. Senate's been asking for it for a long time now. They think a lot of Americans think the filibuster is some sort of a constitutional tradition. It is not. And we've seen it over and over and over again. It's a safeguard of made-up senatorial principles, not democratic principles. And to hell with what's good for the public. We need some good health care. We need lots of really great things done in Washington. But we're not getting it because of these crazy rules that the Senate enables. And when you stop and think about this whole mess with this health care, Max Baucus represents fewer than a million people. And yet he's got extensive power over the health care of over 300 million Americans. Why? It's not because he's some sort of a health care genius. It's because the health care system owns him. So I really hope it does come down to some sort of a reconciliation fight. The Senate's been unaccountable. It's been bizarre. It's been un-American. And I'm not sure it's worth fighting about any of this until the Senate is shaped up, frankly, until we get a new Senate majority leader. The Senate is a group of pompous gas bags that's full of corruption. You can see it all over the place. And the best thing for it right now would be to pass something good with the through reconciliation, but I doubt they have the guts to do this. I doubt. I'm pretty damn sure they don't have the guts to do it. Tea Party Patriots publishing the town hall schedules. And they might as well be saying, and some are openly saying, go disrupt these meetings. Be loud, be shrill, shout, raise hell, disrupt the meetings, cause the congressman to be fearful. And it's working. Before I go any farther, I want to say something about Chris Matthews. I was eating my dinner last night. Yes, some great Ohio sweet corn. And Chris Matthews, as he often does, had a piece that was so stupid. And I really resented it when it was done. He's got a big audience. You know, he does that Tonight's Big Number. Well, his big number last night was 61. And he said 61% of the Democrats apparently told Rasmussen, a Republican polling outfit, that George W. Bush knew something about the 9/11 attacks and didn't do anything to prevent them. And therefore, Matthew's too cute conclusion was that there are crazy people on both sides of the aisle. Well, Chris, you should have explained this a little bit more in a little bit more detail. This crazy right-wing birther movement is, well, they're crazier than bedbugs. I mean, this whole thing has been exposed now to be an absolute sham. And it is motivated strictly by racial and ethnic bigotry. There is no question about that. And they've got absolutely zero evidence to back up their ridiculous bigoted claim. And the thing that Matthews didn't include in this is that George Bush was, in fact, aware that, what's the phrase? Remember the phrase altogether now? Bin Laden was determined to attack inside the U.S. given to him in a CIA memo. And we all heard that later. Bin Laden was determined to attack inside the U.S. using hijacked planes, and he didn't do anything to prevent it. And don't forget that when he finally was told that America was under attack, he sat there with like deer in a headlight in that classroom for 9 minutes, looking like the most scared man on the face of the earth. So the only conclusion you can make out of this, that Rasmussen's question was loaded and it was vague and it was open to a really broad interpretation. Idiot. Matthews. If you'd like to join us on the program. 866-546-5254. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Just imagine if the health insurance lobby took the $1.4 million a day they were spending to fight health care reform and spent that money lowering patient cost. Just imagine if the drug companies spent the $120 million they're about to spend on advertising to fight health care reform, and they spent that money making life-saving drugs more affordable. Just imagine an American health care system that wasn't run by huge profit-making companies wasting millions of dollars on lobbying and ads and CEO pay. Can you imagine? Because that's what health care reform looks like. This message is created by Lee Stranahan. I'm an uninsured father taking on the health insurance industry.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Jess Levin. Our top item today, Media Matters released an ad calling out CNN President Jonathan Klein for continuing to defend primetime host Lou Dobbs and his relentless promotion of racially charged conspiracy theories about President Obama's birth certificate.
The president's birth certificate.
CNN President John Klein said Dobbs' obsession was legitimate.
President's birth certificate, long-form birth certificate.
It's time for the most trusted name in news to live up to its slogan. Let CNN know there's nothing legitimate about racially charged paranoia.
In other birther news, radio host Bill Cunningham said this during a discussion with a caller.
You have to prove if you go to college. This guy refuses to release his Occidental College.
I realize you're on the same page with me.
Because it may say, yes. I'm an Indonesian citizen.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Isn't how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky. Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Ah, yeah, the answer is blowing in the wind. You know, we get a lot of email on the program, and once in a while I get one from somebody that just absolutely mirrors the way I think on a certain subject, and it's almost like, my God, I wrote that, but I didn't. And I want to read you an email right now from a very valued listener and a well-informed listener. And I hope they don't mind. I didn't tell them I was going to read this on here today. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's rather lengthy. But there are some great points made in here, and I concur with it just absolutely 100%. And let me just quote, these organizations scare me. They have endless funding from corporate interest and masses of people who have effectively been brainwashing for decades now and continue to be daily by the right hate talkers 24/7, and it will do anything, no questions asked, no details necessary, just follow orders. I think the best view of who these followers could be seen at every single rally for Sarah Palin during the election. Just go to YouTube and look at those people being interviewed, all the same, all people who would actually benefit if old-time Democrats were in power, who will get nothing from the Republican Party, but who are made to feel important by being part of a bigger group. Amen. The national group, Freepers, Beck followers, Rush followers, Hannity, Savage, Patrick Henry Society, or whatever it's called, they have found a place to identify with, and they will remain loyal to it. I saw rows and rows of low-educated thugs. Joe the Plumber should represent these people. Deep thinkers like that need to stick together, but organized into little armies and pointed at specific targets by their leaders, the front people for the corporations like Beck, etc., they would and could do anything. When I can turn on TV and hear an ongoing conversation for months about the president's birth certificate, if it's true, why aren't these concerned senators screaming about it on the floor of the United States Senate and getting Obama removed from office instead of sitting on Fox News speculating? Or listening to people say they do not want socialist communist health care because the government is going to kill off old people. And in the same breath, they say they do not want Obama to touch their Medicare. And the Democrats aren't standing outside of the halls of Congress correcting this information continuously and challenging everything being said. What the hell is going on? Are we all nuts? We're buried in garbage that passes for information and news, and it's killing us off as a country, what's left of the country. Nobody is being represented except Wall Street. Katrina should stand as a shining example of free market enterprise goals, profit over all else. Cherry pick rescue aid to corporate holdings, oil interests, etc., and do nothing for the rest. In fact, block help to the rest, in the hope that they will all die or leave town and not come back. And it worked. Last time I looked, the population in New Orleans is down, or was down, a couple of 100,000, mostly non-white and poor elderly white people, and most will not come back. Mission accomplished. Instant urban renewal and potentially another red state in the making. It was all so clear that assistance coming from all over the world was being intentionally blocked. I came across a copy of a memo the Red Cross station somewhere received when FEMA told them they were not allowed to be in downtown New Orleans. In effect, it stated that if the Red Cross was allowed to enter the city, they would feed and clothe the people stuck there, and then those people would not leave. Lots of reports of power being restored and FEMA going in and shutting it off again. Why didn't they move these people to the vast land at local Air Force bases? They certainly had places they could have had huge tent cities that would have done the job. But the powers that be wanted those victims scattered all over the country, confused and less able to return to the city, separated from their kids. Total chaos. They were refugees from New Orleans in all 50 states. What happened in New Orleans was largely meant to happen in New Orleans. I'll always believe that. Sorry for that unrelated rant, but what we did after 9/11 in Iraq and Katrina pretty well ended it for me as far as thoughts that we could ever pull ourselves up and build a decent country again. I've seen a lot in this country in the past 50 years, but those events, especially Katrina, took me off the edge. I have massive issues with what went on there, is going on there, and as everything else, it was treated as routine. Never heard of any major investigations into corporate corruption, and it was massive, siphoning off billions of dollars directed at relief efforts, etc. There was plenty of outrage all over the country. People did care, but no leadership, nobody to tie it together and organize a response, a demand that the government can't react like that. The government can't just talk about those people in that part of the world and call them refugees. But the corporate powers know very well that citizens can't rise up if they're not organized, and these powers are experts at keeping everyone distracted and fragmented. What happened in New Orleans demonstrated to the whole world, except apparently to Americans, just how far corporate America is willing to go to profit. Dead bodies floating in the streets for months, hospitals, not in a remote region of the world, but in a major American city, that are unable to be evacuated other than by one helicopter at a time, leaving many to die. Had to stop rescuing some days because of random sniper fire. That's all it takes for the United States of America, with all of its resources, to stop rescuing people. I sat here for a full week watching the events in Katrina and would have expected from day one to see the water and air filled with rescue vehicles, helicopters, airboats, whatever, but day after day, CNN would show the whole landscape of the city of New Orleans, and there would be at most two helicopters doing rescue, I think the Coast Guard. That's how we'd rescue on a massive scale. Well, I'm done. I've ranted in your ear far longer than necessary, but it's getting crazier out there all the time. Be well. Sophie. Sophie, I agree with every word of that. I could never have said it better. I don't think anybody could say it better. It's a shame when in this country, with the wealth that we have, or had at least, that we can't be more responsive to the people, that our government can't be more responsive to the people. And here we have a program that would benefit so many millions of people. And we are allowing... We're allowing a handful of crazies, of disciples of great propagandists, to steal this away from the American people. This is not what a democracy is about. It never was, it never will be. It's for the good of all the people. A good health care plan. We deserve it. As a nation, we deserve it. As a nation, we need it. If we're ever going to call ourselves one of the leading nations in this world, or the leading nation in this world, we will never, ever really be that without health care for all of the people in this nation. It's unthinkable that we can have the military that we have, that we can have the riches we have, and yet, when it comes to something so vital to the interest of all of the people of this nation, we do little, almost nothing. And we allow a handful of people to steal this away from us. What a crying shame. I hate to be pessimistic about it, but I can't see it any other way. I really can't. Let's go to the phone. Let's try calling Glenn Greenwald and see what we end up with here. You'll hear it rigging, I hope. You get beeps instead of rings. Calling.
Hello?
Hello, Glenn.
Hi, how are you?
Glenn, Guy James from The Guy James Show.
Yep.
Want to thank you for being on with us today. You're not exactly next door.
That's true.
Well, wait, Glenn, what time is it right now in Rio?
We're an hour ahead of the East Coast, so
okay.
I don't have a clock in front of me, but whatever time it is there, just add an hour.
3:45, and so it's 2:45 there. You're sticking out in the ocean.
4:45.
4:45, okay, gotcha. Glenn, you're in the middle of this big story that's going on that's been broken in the last couple of days about the so-called truce between Fox and General Electric that has supposedly forbade Keith Olbermann from saying anything else about detrimental about Fox or Bill O'Reilly. And I understand that you've even spoken to Keith about this.
Well, I have. I actually, the person who wrote about the so-called truth first was New York Times reporter Brian Stelter, who wrote on Saturday that GE's CEO, Jeffrey Immelt, and the CEO of News Corp, which owns Fox, and that's, of course, Rupert Murdoch, essentially entered into an agreement mediated by Charlie Rose, whereby they agreed that the constant criticisms of MSNBC and Fox were hurting both parent companies. In Fox's case, because Olbermann was constantly impugning the integrity of the Fox News organization. And in the case of GE, Bill O'Reilly wouldn't target Keith Olbermann on MSNBC when he would respond. He would instead report on things that GE was doing that were embarrassing, such as selling high-tech machinery to the Iranian government. And so it had nothing to do with the news or ratings or a desire to be more profitable for the news divisions. It was about the parent companies that own MSNBC and Fox deciding that it was bad for business, for their corporate business, for this these criticisms to continue. And so they essentially put a gag on their journalist and forbade them, as you said, from criticizing, in Olbermann's case, Fox News.
Now, Olbermann has made statements that are conflicting about this, denying that he had anything to do with it, which I can buy that. He didn't have anything to do with it, maybe, setting this up. But I don't know how many people have monitored his program, but it is, I have been told that he has not uttered the word O'Reilly until last night, since June 1st. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And I actually went and, in light of that New York Times story, I went and looked at every single transcript of Olbermann's show from June 1st on, and the words Bill O'Reilly never passed his mouth. Interestingly, I just received a couple hours ago a study that was done by a journalism professor, Robert McChesney, who used a fairly complicated computer program to analyze Olbermann's program, and what he found was that from February to May of 2009, Olbermann had criticized Bill O'Reilly 40 times, and O'Reilly had made his quote-unquote worst person in the world list 23 times. But in June and July, which is when the New York Times says accurately that this deal was put into place, O'Reilly never once was mentioned, and he never made the worst person list. The same happened with Rupert Murdoch. Olbermann had criticized him 25 times on his show during that same period, February through May, and only mentioned his name once in June and July. So clearly, Olbermann was absolutely muzzled. Now, he has an interest in trying to claim that he wasn't, and that's because, as a journalist, it's fairly humiliating for it to be publicly known that you're forbidden by corporate executives from reporting on the stories that you think are important. But I talked to an MSNBC source with firsthand knowledge of what happened, and they said it's absolutely true that he was ordered by his bosses not to mention O'Reilly and Fox, and in a conversation I had with Oberman yesterday, he agreed to issue a statement, which he ultimately issued, after he went on Countdown and denied that it happened, saying that everything that I had written was factually accurate. And, of course, what I had written, based on my own reporting, was that GE executives ordered him not to utter these terms, and he complied.
Where is he splitting the hairs here exactly?
Well, what he is saying, and he actually gave a quote to the New York Times reporter where he said, I was not a party to the deal. So what he's really saying is he never agreed. He wasn't part of the negotiations. He didn't agree that there should be this deal where Fox wouldn't have criticized them anymore and MSNBC wouldn't criticize Fox anymore. And that's true. He didn't agree. He didn't participate in the deal because nobody cared at GE whether or not Olbermann agreed or not. They looked at him as their employee, their underling, and they didn't ask his consent or permission to do this deal. They did the deal, and they told him, you are no longer to do this. And so it's true. I believe him when he says, I never agree. I never consented to the deal. But that's only because GE did the deal and ordered him to comply with it, never asked him to consent. They didn't care if he consented or not. So it's really a word play on his part where he's trying to leave the impression that this didn't happen. But if you look at what he's actually saying, all he's saying is that he never consented to the deal. And that may be true, but that's irrelevant. That doesn't address whether or not GE actually issued this order, and I know for a fact that they did.
Well, that's tacit approval or acceptance of it if he goes ahead and goes along with it. It must be terribly embarrassing for him. People on the
well, you know, about that, you're right. I mean, you know, it's hard. You know, I think it's interesting because on the one hand, Keith Olbermann is somebody who makes $7 million a year. That was the new contract extension that he signed in January. He has, you know, a platform that he obviously values in hosting this MSNBC show. And so when your boss is from GE, and Keith Olbermann's show is successful, but in the scheme of GE, it's minuscule. They would fire him without blinking. When your bosses come to you and say, look, you know, you are not to talk about this any longer, I think it's easy in the abstract to say, well, look, a journalist, especially somebody like him who models himself after Edward R. Murrow, shouldn't agree to be censored. On the other hand, it's a lot easier said than done when, you know, if it's your own $7 million a year job and position that brings you notoriety and the like, it's a lot harder to tell your bosses, you know, take a hike and I'm going to do what I want. But I think a lot of people expect that a journalist ought not to agree to censorship restraints.
You know the history of Edward R. Murrow. Where do you think Murrow would stand on this?
Well, that's what I find so amazing. You know, Olbermann closes his broadcast frequently with good night and good luck, and makes constant reference to Murrow as his inspiration. Yet Edward R. Murrow, I mean, when he took on Joe McCarthy, you know, we look back at Joe McCarthy now as sort of a laughing stock, but when Edward R. Murrow took on Joe McCarthy was an extremely powerful senator with, you know, a army behind him, and they were destroying careers and blacklisting people and turning them publicly into traitors, basically. And Murrow's bosses were petrified and wanted him to stop, and he kept going, and he defied their orders, and he played a major role in taking Joe McCarthy down. So, I think Edward R. Murrow, the sort of hallmark of who he is, was journalistic courage and a willingness to defy even his own management in order to pursue stories that he thought were important. I think Olbermann's behavior here is the opposite of that.
So we've got the scales out here, and we've got $7 million on one side, and we've got our integrity on the other. How many of us can say what we would do? I'd love to sit here and say, I'd have to publicly tell them to take a hike. I couldn't do it. That's easy to sit here and say because they don't make $7 million a year. But still.
That's right. But, you know, at the same time, he's somebody who's made a lot of money for a long time, and, he's built up a show that has fairly decent ratings. I mean, they're not overwhelming, but they're good. It's the best in MSNBC's history. And so this is not somebody who is, you know, on the living paycheck to paycheck, and if they lose their job, it means that, you know, they're not going to be able to support themselves or not be able to find another opportunity. And I think with the kind of money that he makes and the influence that he wields, you know, comes with responsibility. And although I agree with you and even said that I think it's very difficult to criticize someone for not telling your bosses to go take a hike, no matter who you are, it's a lot easier to say that than it is to do it. I think it is fair to say that it should have an impact on his credibility as a journalist that he's willing to accept those restraints.
And I have to think he'd land back on his feet somewhere if he did tell him to go take a hike. I think a lot of
absolutely.
Sure he would. And with the, like you said, with the past success he's had, I've cut my nose off to spite my face in times. Glenn, Salon comes to you and says, Glenn, don't want you talking about this anymore. What do you do, Glenn?
Yeah, I mean, I had my own blog, my own independent blog on Blogspot, and I could write whatever I wanted. And so when Salon and I began talking about my moving to Salon, my first and, principal prerequisite was that under no circumstances will I ever agree to be edited in any way. My absolute prerequisite was complete and total editorial freedom. In part because that's the nature of blogging, is that it's a very instantaneous medium, and you can't have people holding your writing for a long time and digging through it, but also because I knew that my readers saw as an important part of my credibility the fact that I could write what I want and never had to fear what other people thought or would be subject to constraints, and to their credit, Salon agreed to that. And you know, I've frequently attacked all kinds of MSNBC personalities, including Keith Olbermann, even though Salon's editor-in-chief, Joan Walsh, is constantly on MSNBC. They've had lots of complaints from powerful people in the media and politics about things I've written, and they've never once told me that I can, and I'm absolutely positive that if they ever did, I would not accept it. And so, you know, I think you have to, you know, now whether I had Keith Olbermann's position, and I felt like, if I got fired at MSNBC, I wouldn't have another show, and I'd lose my $7 million a year contract. You know, I, like you, I would like to think that I would do the right thing, but I'm not going to claim, because I don't think anyone can claim until it happens, that they know for sure what they would do. But I do know that editorial freedom is vital for journalists, and at least for me, I would never go to work at a place where I didn't have it.
And you'd have to think part of the consideration beside the money would, I will lose my platform. And but also, how much is my platform worth anymore if there are people in the audience who doubt my integrity? So it is a complicated issue. It's not complicated for me, I don't think, and I know it's not complicated for you. And you do have to look back at Edward R. Murrow, for example. They got tons of complaints at CBS about him when he was on his campaign against McCarthy. I don't know how he stood the pressure, but somehow he did. He's something for all of us to look up to in the field of journalism, and question in my mind. Where do you think this goes, Glenn?
Well, what I think, you know, I think one of the things that's interesting is that not only do we have this extraordinarily corrupt and dangerous deal between News Corp and GE, but we also have Keith Olbermann, who went on the air on June 1st and claimed that the reason that he was stopping to talk about Fox and Murdoch was because he made up a whole story about how, in light of the murder of George Tiller, it was now too serious of a topic to joke about anymore, and therefore he wouldn't talk about it anymore. As it turns out, the New York Times reports that the real reason was because he was muzzled by his bosses. He also went on the air on Monday night and denied that there was ever any such a deal that was imposed on him, and that too was untrue. So I think that, you know, the Olbermann part of the story is important, but I think it's secondary. I think the real question is, how disturbing is it the two large corporations can own, buy major news divisions and then agree that they won't report on each other any longer as part of a quid pro quo. And I think that there's real legal issues there. I think there's definitely issues for democracy and journalistic freedom that are really raised by this proof that these large corporations use their control over our media divisions to control our public discourse. I think everyone ought to be disturbed by that.
Well, when I think back of names like Mike Wallace and Eric Severide and Walter Cronkite and Roger Mudd and some of those people, I have a hard time thinking they get a memo at the office saying don't talk about this anymore and they stay. I have a hard time.
That's right.
I do. Glenn, thanks so much. If anything else breaks on this, we'd love to get in contact you with again over it. We really appreciate you clearing all this up for us. And you know, best of luck to you in the future. You got a new, any new books coming out soon?
There'll be one out next year, so I'm still working on it. It's still being shaped, so nothing for you yet.
You can't write a book as fast as Michelle Malkin then.
No, she writes one a year. That had been my pattern, but I needed a break this year, so it'll be next year.
She wrote a 372 book, page book in 6 months.
She does turn them out.
Yeah. Okay. Glenn, thanks so much. Glenn Greenwald, everybody from Salon Magazine.
Bye-bye.
Glenn, our big thank yous. My, oh, my. That's a story I didn't want to hear. I cringed when I spoke to Glenn about this and hearing the truth from it. And let me tell you this. If you don't know Glenn Greenwald, I do. His integrity, his honesty, his ethics are absolutely impeccable and have been year after year after year. You will get the unvarnished truth from him at all times. This was a sad story. A very, very sad story. And I am sorely disappointed in Keith Olbermann. I do think that if he lost that job that he has, that he could end up landing on his feet somewhere, maybe with a job paying less. But how do you give up? How do you give up your integrity? How do you? And I just have to say, and I know a lot of you may feel the same way about it, I just have to say that I'm probably more disappointed over this story than anything I've heard in quite a while, anything about any of the people that hold in high esteem, people on the left that have done a lot to help the cause, to help bring their a presence, some presence, and he's brought as much as anybody, certainly more than Ed Schultz and more than Rachel. But it's just hard to think that one of the pillars that we have thought of on the left has capitulated and had to grovel at the feet, at the altar of big corporate media. Very, very sad. We're going to pause for news coming up right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show here in the Hit on Radio Network. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Wisconsin Democratic Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin is planning to introduce a single-payer health care amendment, even as House leaders acknowledge her role in helping to move health care reform forward. Jesse Russell reports.
Wisconsin's 2nd District Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin was credited on Friday by Speaker Nancy Pelosi and House and Energy and Commerce Committee Chair Henry Waxman for helping bridge a divide in moving health care reform legislation forward in the House of Representatives. Baldwin led the creation of an amendment that allows progressive Democrats to keep subsidies for middle-income Americans while creating new cost-saving provisions for conservative Democrats.
We really had a breakthrough that allowed all of us in a sort of the big tent of the Democratic Party to support this bill and move it forward for its next stages.
Baldwin said now that the legislation is on its way to the floor of the House, members of her committee are preparing to introduce a floor amendment that will bring single-payer health care up for discussion.
Many, like myself, really believe that the true way to reform in the most comprehensive and fair way would be to create a single-payer system. And too often in this debate, that has been taken off the table. Well, we're glad that a single-payer system will get additional scrutiny when the health care measure hits the House floor.
A bill being rushed to passage in the U.S. Senate includes an amendment threatening the wages and benefits of postal workers. It requires contract arbitrators to tilt toward the Postal Service. Chuck Slotkin is legislative and political director for the New York Metro Area Local of the American Postal Workers Union.
Including this amendment in the legislation, in effect, threatens our collective bargaining and everything that we've gained in the 39 years that we've had collective bargaining.
Slotkin says the reports of the need to downsize postal capacity and limit deliveries due to reduced mail volume are really an attack on postal workers and their union. He says the economic downturn, not email technology and modern communications trends, are causing the reduced volume. And he says it would be a mistake to reduce capacity and limit deliveries because it could cripple postal capacity when the economy recovers.
This is really being used as an excuse to go after a unionized workforce that has a strong contract and also to privatize the Postal Service.
Walmart Canada is suing the United Food and Commercial Workers Union in an effort to shut down a Walmart worker organizing website. UFCW Canada President Wayne Hanley says the lawsuit's request for an injunction against the website is an over-the-top assault on effective freedom of speech. Despite the legal action, UFCW Canada says it will not be silenced. Instead, the union is launching a public awareness and popular action campaign. The UFCW website under attack by Walmart is www.walmartworkerscanada.ca. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you're one of those people yelling at town hall meetings, I hate to break it to you, but you're a patsy. You may think you're trying to save America from the government, but you're really being used by the health insurance industry, who's using the government to keep their very profitable monopoly. The health insurance industry doesn't care about competition, or freedom, or patients' rights, or you for that matter. Stop yelling. Start thinking. This message created by Lee Stranahan. I'm an uninsured father taking on the health insurance industry.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Yes, you are listening to Guy James. Thank you for joining us here today, here on the Head On Radio Network. That's what I'm talking about. That is exactly what I am talking about. I'm more than a little bit upset right now. I probably should just put on Feelings and play it for 51 minutes. And I know some listeners going, oh, here he goes again. You hunt down a interview subject all the way to South America, somebody that's got a tremendously important story, big, big, big story. And if you follow politics and if you follow the media stories, this so-called truce between Fox and GE is a huge story. And the fact that Keith Olbermann would not tell the truth about it or not be straight up with everybody is a big, big story. And so before the program today, I go on the Democratic Underground, and which is a, as you know, tremendous number of people on the forum there at all times, post it on there. To let everybody know that Glenn Greenwald was going to be on this program this afternoon and gave the link where they could listen to the program. Zip. Not one reply to the post. And for that matter, on our own chat room, we didn't really have any conversation about it either. None to speak of. That's what I'm talking about. That is exactly what I'm talking about. If I were a right-winger and had a story like that, it would be Katie bar the door. But we have it here on the left, and everybody's just kind of, yeah. I guess it's not that important, huh? Okay. I'm so pissed I'm having trouble keeping my thoughts straight. I'll be back in a minute.
Sometimes late when things are real and people share the gift of gab between themselves. Some are quick to take the bait and catch the perfect prize that waits among the shells. But Oz never did give nothing to a tin man that he didn't already have. And cause never was a reason for leaving, for the Tropic of Sir Galahad. So please believe in me when I say I'm spinning round, 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 round. Smoke last thing right up, and it's going down, 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 down. So said green light up. Oh, I never did give nothing to the tin man that he didn't already have. And cause never was the reason for the evening, for the Tropic of Sir Galahad. So please believe in me when I sound spinning round, 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 round. Smoke last thing back up, keep it going down, down, down. Never was the reason for the evening, for the Tropic of Sir Galahad. So please believe in me. Ooh.
Oh, 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 baby, don't you know I'm human? Have thoughts like any other one. Sometimes I find myself alone, regretting some foolish thing, some simple thing I've done. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get my point here? Just wondering if you get my point here. It felt good for a while. It felt good for a year or two or however long it's been to be able to tune into MSNBC and figure that we're getting the truth about things. It felt good to tune into Keith Olbermann and have him established as probably the leader of the left on the media. It felt good to do that. It felt good to have an island in the ocean of right-wing media. It felt good to have a network maybe we could trust for a change. It felt good. But now we know that we cannot trust anything you hear on MSNBC anymore. If their top guy is going to give in to extortion, if their top guy is going to agree to not be able to have I can't even talk, I'm so pissed off. A man that's revered in the left, on the left, we know lied about this, or twisted his word, or twisted the truth, in order to save himself. A very articulate man, a man who I've respected, but when I find this out, I've lost all trust I had in Keith Olbermann after I found out that he has lied to us about this. How do I know I can listen to anything on MSNBC anymore, and I will not listen to MSNBC anymore? How will anybody know that they're getting the truth? How will anybody know that they haven't been sat down just like the people over at Fox News and told what to say and what not to say? And that news is no longer news, and that journalism is no longer the real thing, and that you can no longer trust it. Let's take a call. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Well, Guy, I just thought I'd call in. This is David from Maine.
Hi, David.
Yeah, you know, I never trusted any of these networks to begin with, and I always had my doubts on someone like Olbermann because he came from a sports arena, and I figured there was always a certain a theater to him, and I haven't seen a real newsman on the TV in a long time. I think the closest thing I saw was Cafferty.
Yeah.
And if you take some of Cafferty and you take some of Olbermann, but even Cafferty has these sides to him that I can't take him seriously either. And I think that's part of the that's part of the culture. When you're inundated by working for a network and you give too many compromises and then you want to deny that you're being a shill, but when you do work for these corporations, that's what ends up happening.
Well, it is sure, apparently it has certainly happened in this case.
Well, I think what we can learn from it is we need to start continuing to build our infrastructure. The long, hard climb that it's going to take decades and decades and decades. And in the meantime, the right-wing infrastructure is going to be building faster than us. But you know, my theory on that is if the right wing reaches that pinnacle, and then they're able to build the perfect perfect media control, which it seems like they're almost there. I don't know. They'll destruct two times as fast than previous before. So sometimes I think that you just have to let it all basically crystallize and have at it and see where the citizens decide to go. And also, that's a big part of it. Our American public is not taught, and we do this with progressives too. I know we do. We don't teach people that we have to sacrifice, and we don't explain what sacrifice means. And this goes into my theory that we need to start having assigned roles when it comes to the progressive movement. And we need to be serious, and we need to tell people, you know what? There's a 90% chance we probably won't have any movement in our vision of what we want, but there's that 10% that keeps us going. And until we have that, we're just going to continue to have pundits and crony leadership that goes out there and says, you can do it, you can do it. And they don't tell you what to do. And you go home and you turn on the TV and you say to yourself, what is it you wanted me to do? And they say, well, you gotta be specific and you have to be honest about it.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And see, the great thing about it is, though, Guy, is the more you say it, the more it will start to sink into people and affect it. Oh, wow, this really is hard. Okay, so what do we have to do? Oh, man. And then and then we can start developing how we're going to continue on this road of progress. But we can't do that until we accept our fate. And our fate is that we really don't know. And that's another thing. We have to be honest. Most of us really don't know what it is we have to do. We have ideas, and we have plans, and we have strategies. But again, it goes back to what I was saying. We have to have assigned roles pretty soon.
Well, we are...
And we have to say, are you willing to do this, sir? There's going to have to be some... Oh, go ahead.
We're behind on that. We have been for years, and we continue to be. And I think a key thing is what you said early in your comments was the lesson that we could learn from this. And yes, we could, but will we? We as Democrats, and I don't know if you count yourself as a Democrat, I do. I'm getting a little weaker on that as the days go by, but I never have, but I just don't see. Yes, we got a president, we got a Congress, we got the House, the Senate, we've got it all right now, but what we're doing with it is not working. And, you know, we'll lose a lot of people that got involved in this last election. We'll lose enthusiasm in the next one, and the old right will be right back there ready to walk in the door again. And it's very disconcerting.
Well, you know, Guy, it also goes back to the fact of this generation, I'm sorry to say, has never experienced a serious sacrifice. I remember, I'll give you an instance of an example of the ridiculousness where we are. I remember growing up and we had a microwave, and it wasn't a very fast microwave. Now you're going to laugh. What do you mean of not a very fast microwave? Well, it wasn't as fast as the other kids on the block, right?
Yeah.
So they would put a hot dog in or a hamburger or something, and they'd say, well, you got to wait a minute instead of the 30 seconds. They're like, really? And like, yeah, it's an older model. And I'm like, okay. And I remember we were cooking up food in the microwave, and I remember seeing this kid say, come on, come on, come on. I was like, it's a minute. It's a minute. Are you okay? And that's what I'm talking about. And I'm not joking. I am not joking. That's where we're at.
Well,
that's where we're at, people.
We used to compare our bosses with one another.
We can come up with other instances of this as well. You know, one instance comes to mind is the elevators. When someone's in an elevator and they have to wait like they can't wait 20 seconds or however long it is, it's minuscule, and they don't have anywhere to go. This is a problem. We need to learn how to we need to learn. We need to hone our craft and get back to what sacrifice really means. And that means we have to teach our children to understand what sacrifice truly is. When I was growing up, I was in a parallel world. I lived in a world where we had to heat our own home using wood for our stoves. So what I would do is when my dad said when I wanted something, my dad would say, "Well, you know what? We have a forest out back, and we need wood for our fire. So I suggest you start working for what it is you would like to buy for yourself."
There you go.
And that's what I did. Now see the problem. This is the problem when you give people. We don't give people allowances anymore. We give our kids golden parachutes now, for God's sakes.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And again, so it goes back into the spoiling, and we have to, you know, Obama has said some good things, but you know, there comes a time where we all have to define what sacrifice means, and that's where pain comes into play, and eventually, we're going to have to come to that crossroads where we have to look at ourselves in the eyes and say, okay, this is what we mean by sacrifice, and we're going to have to go down the list. Because I notice people calling into the horn also, some people who call up, they talk about this bright optimism, and it kind of reminds me of the rapture evangelical, like it's just going to happen instantly if we just think positive about it.
Right,
and it's not gonna happen like that because the human nature is we're docile and we're very sheep-like in nature, and we do need a bit of conditioning and a bit of a hard lesson, and unfortunately, you know, guy. We have not, for the longest time, set in the rules of what the new sacrifice is. And maybe we need to draw up a plan on if we want to be a movement in this country, whether it's democratic, progressive, liberal, whatever you want, independent, whatever you want to name it, just to keep the birthers away.
Yeah.
We need to do that. And if we don't do that, then, you know, That's a serious loss for all parties involved, including our future families and our future ancestors. So it really is up to us in this sense that we need to stop being afraid of pain, sacrifice, blood, sweat, tears, you name it. Think of it like a gym. I mean, just because you lifted 20 or 30 pounds doesn't mean you're done with your workout.
Right. Well, I hope we're up to it. I hope we're up to it. I'm not seeing many signs that we are. Hey, David, got to run, got to take a break, and I do appreciate hearing from you and hearing your thoughts today.
All right, guys, no problem.
Thanks for calling.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Jeff Levin. Our top item today, Media Matters released an ad calling out CNN President Jonathan Klein for continuing to defend primetime host Lou Dobbs and his relentless promotion of racially charged conspiracy theories about President Obama's birth certificate.
The president's birth certificate.
CNN President John Klein said Dobbs' obsession was legitimate.
President's birth certificate, long-form birth certificate.
It's time for the most trusted name in news to live up to its slogan. Let CNN know there's nothing legitimate about racially charged paranoia.
In other birther news, radio host Bill Cunningham said this during a discussion with a caller.
You have to prove if you go to college. This guy refuses to release
his Occidental College.
I realize you're on the same page with me.
Because it may say,
yes,
I'm an Indonesian citizen.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
This is a message to America's wingnuts, rednecks, and the last few remaining Republicans on Earth. Between trying to destroy health care reform, getting crazy about Obama's birth certificate, worrying about Acorn, getting off with your Sarah Palin poster, admitting to affairs, randomly saying the Pledge of Allegiance, waiting for the end times, refusing to comply with the census, refusing stimulus money, pretending to hang people, actually shooting people, watching Glenn Beck, reading Glenn Beck, and being Glenn Beck, don't you have enough on your plate? America would like to ask you to slow down and just focus on two or three crazy things, hopefully the ones that don't kill people. Imagine how many affairs you could admit to if you just applied yourself. This message brought to you by 80% of America. 80% of America, being 80% of America for over 100 years.
Hey, we're back with you here on the Guy James Show. Welcome back, and I think we've got a caller on the line. Hello, you're listening to the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy, is that me?
Yes, that would be you.
All right, well, this is Sue, ELO in the chat room. Just give a quick shout-out to everyone.
Hi, Sue.
I don't know how or why we let the right wing in this country hijack the term liberal media. Because and then claim that every damn media outlet is liberal media. Why did we let them do that? Because what Glenn did is put the lie to the whole frickin' thing. I mean, we've known it with Disney. Look at the hack job that they did on Bill Clinton with that 9/11 movie here a couple of years ago.
Right.
They didn't pin any of the blame of it on George Bush. It was all Bill Clinton's fault.
Right.
And so, you know, we know Disney, we know General Electric. War is very good for them. Of course they wanted George Bush's war. And then this thing with Keith Olbermann, well, who'd have thunk that? The thing with CNN, the president of CNN, egging on Lou Dobbs, oh, you know, just keep on with the birther thing? Hello? CNN is one of them. Oh, if you listen to CNN, that's liberal media. How much more damn proof do we need?
There is
Whose side are they on? You don't need to be a frickin' scholar to figure that one out.
No. No, for all in practical purposes, there really is no liberal media.
And it goes from national media clear down to levels of the local media. In particular, my hometown newspaper, the Ashland Daily Fish Wrap, okay? I'm the webmaster for a community activist group here in Ashland that stemmed from Ashland County, Ohio, that stemmed from our county commissioners closing our county home after 159 years. And now they're moving all their offices out there. In 1974, our county home was rebuilt because of a levy the citizens of Ashland County voted for to rebuild our county home, to use it as a county home. The commissioners closed it down, and now they're going to use it as an office. And that's where the community activist group spurred from. And we've got a website that we just post PDF documents of actual government contracts, city government contracts, payrolls, things like that, because people want to know. It's all things that our local newspaper flat out refuses to publish. We also have a forum on our site. If anyone wants to visit it, it is www.caofac.org. That's our website, and we have a forum there. And the people that participate on our forum don't engage in much conjecture. And we had a person come to our forum and say something about they had heard. And that's always how this starts. They had heard. And oftentimes whenever we've had someone come to our forum and say, I have heard, once we've panned it out, it's true. So, like I said, people don't engage in a lot of conjecture. But a person wrote that they had heard that the editor of our local newspaper was giving our contact information, our personal information, to one of the county commissioners. that was on the local newspaper website posting disagreeable comments with the commissioner's agenda. And then someone else popped up on there and said, why would that be surprising? The editor and the commissioner live in the same condominium complex. And then we get the editor of our local daily newspaper come on our forum and said, if we change our privacy policy, I'm going to out all of you on this forum first.
Wow.
We're being threatened by our own damn local media here.
Yeah, that's quite a story.
But when you hear the wingnuts going on, it's all liberal media. The only one you can believe is Fox. I say bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. We don't. Where I live, there is no liberal media. There's none. There's none of any kind. I don't know what the answer is. I wish I did. Bob and I and those of us here on the Head On Radio Network, yourself, we've searched for the answer to this for a long, long time, and we've worked hard and we've endeavored to try and make a difference. But
right.
It's tough. It's just damn tough.
It is tough, and it's damn frustrating. And the thing that cracks me up is how everyone knows how the media is a lapdog for corporations. Everybody knows. And oftentimes we're always asked on the horn to get ourselves put on terrestrial radio. Well, get yourselves put on this station. Get yourself put on that station. Why?
Yeah, why indeed?
It doesn't work. Because now you want us to be corporate whores.
Yeah, well, if you owned your own station and all, you might be able to get away with that. But around here, you couldn't even get on terrestrial radio.
Let's say that you did. How long would it be before you were censored again?
Well, I got tossed. I mean,
yeah.
I got tossed.
Yeah, because you were told to conform, Guy.
I was told to conform, and believe it or not, we were paying for the time. That's how difficult it is. So
yeah, that's another thing. A lot of people don't realize that many of the liberal shows that you do run across on terrestrial radio, those the owners, whatever, the hosts of those shows pay to have their programs aired.
Oh yeah, and I don't know what it is at a lot of stations, but here locally at a decent station, with good listenership, it's about $400 an hour. So we did that for 2 years, and finally they'd had enough.
And your money is no good here. Oh, does that mean I can work for free? Well, absolutely not. Your money's no good
right.
here.
Yeah, your views do not conform to the views of our conservative audience, I believe was the exact phrase that came from them.
I just want to call and tell people to stop letting. I had done this whole thing where I had looked up the owners of all of these major media outlets and who their political campaign contributions go to. It's no secret. You can find it anywhere on the Internet. There's quite a few websites, nonprofit websites, non-biased websites, that track who donates to what political campaigns. So it's easy to track it down. And there was one, I forget who, I think it might have been Les Moonves of CBS. Flat out refused to donate to any political campaigns anymore. And before that, they were donating to Republicans. All the rest of them donate to Republicans, so don't tell me how that's liberal-oriented media. We know who they support.
Yeah, absolutely. We do. We do. Oh, my.
Ridiculous. Well, thanks for letting me call in. Can I go on about... No, actually, I'll save that for another day. This is about the media today. And so people, whenever you hear anyone, if it's on a newspaper website or a forum somewhere, or if you're in a chat room somewhere and someone starts going on about the liberal media, stop it right there.
All right.
And set them straight.
But now you've got me curious. What else is it you wanted to talk about?
I wanted to talk about Professor Gates.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about the Professor Gates thing.
Yeah.
This whole, because again, Guy, this is how the media spun it. Oh, it's not racial. I'm going to tell you a few things, and this is exactly how whitey media wants it relayed, that it was not racial. First of all, the charges were dropped. Not, you know, he was tried and there wasn't enough evidence. The charges were fucking dropped within 24 hours.
Yep.
So, there's one. Now, number two, this break-in, this burglary, the police call, it didn't come in at midnight when the streetlights were out and there was no moon to even give any illumination. This was in broad daylight. And not just broad daylight, broad sunshiny daylight. My neighbors, I can tell my neighbors in broad sunshiny daylight at 100 feet in broad sunshiny daylight. This bimbo that ended up calling the damn cops can't tell her neighbors at 100 feet in broad sunshiny daylight. And that's another thing. How could she not discern what color they were, but she damn sure knew what gender they were?
Yeah.
Hmm?
That's right.
At 100 feet.
That's right.
And here's another thing. After this beer summit, the whitey cop goes and holds himself a press conference afterwards. Professor Gates didn't. What if that had been the other way around? What if Professor Gates held the news conference afterwards and whitey police officer did not? What would have been the spin then? Hmm?
You're right on. You're spot on with that. I absolutely agree.
And the media right from the, oh, this wasn't racially motivated. It was just unfortunate circumstances. My ass.
Yeah.
I'm white and I could see it.
Well, you know, Yellow, Sue, I was born and raised not very far from where you live.
Right.
And in my little hometown, I'm ashamed to say that, and I know this to be true, that if a black person came to town, because there were none that lived there, if a black person came to town and parked their car downtown and walked around, they would be tailed wherever they went. Things that I remember, and you know what, I'm getting old now, but wasn't that long ago. And it's, you see these things in America that just won't go away. We've gotten rid of polio, we've gotten rid of several things, but we just can't get rid of that, and I don't know if we ever will.
Right.
You have hope, and I honestly I have to say about 20 years ago, I would say when my daughter was in high school, coming up to school, I thought a change in the attitude of the kids about race relations, and I began to see that most of them didn't care about what color anybody was, and I thought, you know, this is a good thing. And so I thought a lot of progress was being made. Now I look, and I'm not so sure. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, well, I mean, we can actually thank post 9/11 for that, because the media, again, the right-wing media in this country, and they're all right-wing outlets, have done their part to make us afraid again of people who aren't white.
Right. You're right. That was another turning point. We took several steps backwards right there.
Sure did.
Well, guess we have to have hope.
Yeah, we have to have hope in that, but you know, I'm ready to get a frying pan out and start whapping some people up alongside the head for a dummy up type thing. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. There is absolutely, it makes me so angry. And I've watched this Professor Gates thing for the last 2 weeks now, and the story hasn't changed. And then they try to pin it on Obama. Well, he shouldn't have said the Cambridge police acted stupidly. Well, I ain't never heard anyone say they acted valiantly in this whole situation.
No, I thought it was a stupid move, too. There's ways to comport yourself in a situation like that and ways not to, and but then don't get me started on that about the police thing.
You know, that's the whole thing, because the majority of the people, the teabaggers especially, that are standing up for whitey cop, he was just doing his job.
Right.
You know, they're the ones that are always going on about, I've got rats in my home. Well, so does Professor Gates. He's got absolutely no right to be drug out of his home. If I want to go bust out one of my windows right now, I'm allowed to go do it.
I would have gone nuts. I would have absolutely gone nuts. I can promise you that. I would have gone crazy had that happened to me.
Yeah. Okay, guys, thanks. Thanks for letting me get that off my chest.
Thanks for calling, Sue. Good to hear from you.
Okay, we'll talk at you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, can you imagine? Now, I thought she's right. She brought this up. She's absolutely right. Now, I never did talk about it very much on the show, but can you imagine? I'm not the kind that you want to do that to. Because my wife would tell you, people that know me would tell you, not that I do that to people that know me, but would tell you that I don't put up with any crap ever. And that would have been way too much for me. I would be in jail still today. I absolutely can predict I would have been guilty of assaulting a police officer. I would have been guilty of assaulting many police officers under that situation. I hope nothing like that ever happens. I did have something really strange happen many, many, many years ago. And, therefore my trust of law enforcement in some cases is not what it ought to be. But, I wouldn't want to have that happened to me, like Professor Gates. 866-546-5254. We are going to pause for a break, and we'll be right back.
If you doubt for a second that the Republicans will tell outrageous lies to you about health care reform, watch this.
But that's exactly what's going on in Canada and Great Britain today. They don't have the appreciation of life as we do in our society, evidently. And Dr. Rowe, a lot of people are going to die. This program of government option that's being touted as being this panacea, the savior of allowing people to have quality health care at an affordable price, is going to kill people.
Got that? The people in Canada and England hate their citizens so much that, like every other wealthy industrial country in the world, they give their citizens affordable health care. But we can't have that in America. We need huge health insurance rate increases, gigantic salaries for the CEOs of the health insurance companies, and people being denied insurance because of pre-existing conditions. Because that's how much the Republicans love life. This message produced by Lee Stranahan. I'm an uninsured father taking on the health insurance industry.
So these countries have very little respect for their citizens. They have so little respect. I tell you, when they make statements like that, don't you want to just stand up and scream? I'm told Elvis used to sit and shoot at his TV when he got really pissed off. He had a gun there. I don't know what I'll watch during my dinner hour tonight. I don't know. I usually watch MSNBC, but I won't be seeing that anymore, so I'll have to, see if there's any Marx Brothers movies on. Or isn't it a shame you don't know where to turn? I want you to know this, and I'll beat the Hit on Radio Network drum for a minute. I know Bob. I know what kind of a guy Bob is, and I know me. And I know one thing you won't hear when you listen to either one of our shows. You won't hear any BS. Maybe we should do that. Maybe that's what people like. I don't know. If we joke, we'll tell you it's a joke, or you'll get that it's a joke. If we're kidding around, we'll tell you we're kidding around. And if we're not sure about something, we'll tell you we're not sure about something. But what you hear is the truth. It's the plain old unvarnished truth that you get nowhere else that I know. We are beholden to no one. except you. And what we owe you is not our acquiescence to your wishes. What we owe you is the truth. That's what our listeners deserve, is the truth. And that's one thing you will always and forever get on the Head On Radio Network, as long as we're around. And we need your help to be around, but as long as we're around, we will give you the truth. You won't hear us passing on rumors unless we tell you, oh, it's a rumor, I heard this or I heard that, it's a rumor. When you hear it here, it's gospel. And I want you to know that, and I think you do know that. I am frankly, not that I haven't suspected of corporate interference before on NBC and MSNBC, but I have to tell you, I am very, 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 very disappointed over this story about Keith Olbermann. I'm more disappointed than I can tell you, and I know he was a sports broadcaster. I was a sports broadcaster myself at one time when I first started out. Well, not when I first started out in radio, but did a lot of high school basketball games. Did a lot of basketball games, and it was great fun, and it's something most guys would like to do. But I've done serious radio for a long time, and we don't know how to do anything else but tell you the truth. I just want you to know that. I guess I've said that a couple of times, huh? 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us here on the program today. I guess you know, and I don't have to tell you, that personal income is going down, down, down. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. It's continually going down. And spending has gone up a little bit last month. And job cuts in July, what a horrible, horrible report that came in today on job cuts in July. They went way up. 97,000 people, and you know that'll be revised upward, it always is. But 97,000 people, think of that. As I always do, I know our football stadium at Ohio State holds around 103,000 people. I think of that vast stadium filled with on a sunny Saturday for a football game, and knowing that every person in that stadium lost their job last month. That's unfathomable in this country. And yet it's true. It's what happened. Some people predicted this, that monthly job cuts are likely to return to levels in excess of $100,000 by the fourth quarter of this year. Outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas Incorporated reported that the number of job cuts in July spiked 31%, bouncing off a 15-month low in June. July marked the first increase in monthly job cuts since January. So this is a very, very, very bad report, and I can't see anything good in it at all. There are going to be probably some more layoffs in the automotive industry, but they're reaching a low by which they can't go much lower. And we want to talk tomorrow, and heads up on this, tomorrow we want to talk about how the fat cat banks on Wall Street and around the country have been so cooperative with the Making Home Affordable program. Yes, sir, we were going to have all this loan modification, and they took all this TARP money, and there's going to be all these mortgages that were going to be reduced, making your home affordable again. But guess what? The participation is practically zip, and it makes me very, very angry. It really does. I think President Obama came out with a good plan here, but just as not being implemented by the nation's biggest banks, the ones that could really make a difference. And did you know that Glenn Beck, his final story for today, did you know that Glenn Beck said these wicked, crazy, frightened people, says Glenn Beck, and he's right, absolutely right. Anyone who would broadcast a story that www.cars.gov, the site that explains the government's Cash for Clunkers program, will trick you into signing away the rights to all the information in your computer is wicked, crazy, and frightening. They can continue to track you, says Beck, basically forever, once you've tapped into your system, once they've tapped into your system. It's so broad that they can do just about anything. Now, listen to this. This is a national broadcaster telling people on the air on a nationally syndicated broadcast that if you go to that www.cars.gov to find out about the Cash for Clunkers, that they will get into your computers and they will seize all your information now and forevermore. And Glenn says, I know who our czars are now, and this collection of these czars, these are evil people. These are wicked, crazy, frightening people, replied Beck on his Fox News program. The show went on to have Jonah Goldberg, the evil spawn of Lucianne Goldberg, lie that if you log into the site with Skype, you're giving them permission to listen to all your phone calls. Something their hero Bush did with Fox's blessing. It's a lie, of course. And I'd like to think that by now someone in the Fox house would have bothered to notice that the privacy statement Beck showed us wasn't from cars.gov at all, but from a system registered dealers use to report the sales. You couldn't log into the system if you wanted to, you idiots. I'd like to think there would be some kind of apology. In fact, I'd like to see some kind of criminal prosecution. Wouldn't you? I'm sure we would, won't. I'm sure we will see and hear more and bigger and more outrageous lies, and no one will do a damn thing as we slide into ruin. There you go. There's that right-wing media for you. But we all know the media is controlled by the left, right? Well, listen, I want to thank all of you for listening to the program today. I do appreciate it very much, and I hope you'll be back with us tomorrow. We'll hopefully be in a better mood tomorrow. Anyway, thanks for being here. You're listening to The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Don't forget, we're a listener-supported program. You can do that at theguyjamesshow.com. Until then, we'll be back tomorrow. And never forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Later, gang.